Okay, everyone, welcome to the 19th session of Da'as Tfilo. We've covered a lot of ground. Gmar Chasima Tov, everyone. The upcoming pieces are going to be more and more connected to tshuva. I'm sorry, we should have been like, it would have been great if we were like 3 or 4 sessions behind time, because then we would have covered all the stuff then in the Arum NaRaim. But we'll do our best with what we have in front of us. And we'll have to remember we're still in the Arum NaRaim. We're always able to do tshuva, but there's beautiful stuff that connects to our special time now. Okay. Great. Special shout out to Dr. Goldovsky, who is here for that treatment you recommended. Unbelievable. Baruch Hashem. A long time ago, to get rid of colds that were coming on. It's the best thing ever. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem is working. Okay, good. Here we go. We are discussing the concept of time. We're discussing that time is a concept. Hello, Dr. Mark. We're discussing what this all has to do with tefillah. It's going to take a little while for him to get to back to tefillah, but the conversation itself is a fascinating one. Let's remember what we did in the first two sessions about this chapter. In the first session, we saw an interesting piece from the Jerusalem Talmud that we may never have come across before, and that is that in the whole question of where did we get three tefillos from, there is a third opinion. The two opinions from the Bavli are pretty famous. We have three tefillos because of the three avos, or we have three tefillos because of the three korbanos. Oh, there's only two korbanos per day? Okay, I'll have to get back to that. A little strange that there's only a korban tamid in the morning and a korban tamid in the afternoon, but okay. Those are the two famous opinions as to from where did we get this idea of praying three times a day. The Jerusalem Talmud gave another answer, an even simpler answer. The Jerusalem Talmud said that the reason why we pray three times a day is because the day is divided up effectively into three parts: morning, afternoon, and night. And that we should be praying for different things. As the sun appears to move across the horizon and then to move across the sky and then disappear, of course, we know the sun doesn't actually disappear, but the way humans were meant to experience it, we were supposed to see the sun rising and then setting and then disappear. So this entire thing was created for us to create time zones, to have a morning where we get up and we just thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Yerushalmi said, to have an afternoon where we said that hopefully you'll be able to continue providing your good in the afternoon as you did in the morning, and the night where we say to Hashem that just like you got me through last night, get me through tonight. Without going into the details of what those three ideas mean, it's a fairly simple idea. We experience the world as three time periods per day. We speak of Erev, Voker, and Seharayim. We speak of morning, afternoon, and night. And even though the night is much longer, the night is 12 hours, and the morning and the afternoon are only 6 hours, we don't really see that. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created this thing called sleep, and sleep has us experience the night as really one long time rather than as different time periods. So, not that difficult. We have morning, afternoon, and night. We should use every one of those to turn to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps even more, we should use the fact that the sun has moved to remind us that God is running the world, that someone's running the world. We're told that Avraham Avinu, as a small child, came to Hashem because he saw that the moon was in charge at night, the sun was in charge during the day, and neither one was fully in charge. So simply seeing the most obvious thing in nature should inspire us to realize that there's a God moving the pieces out there. And that's another reason why these three time periods are times to turn to God. But the Das Tfila took this in a much, much, much deeper way, as he does most everything. And he's going to try to show us how time and the perceived moving of the sun are integrally connected to prayer. Not simply that with each time period we should say another prayer, but the very concept of time, the very idea of time, is something that's integrally connected to prayer. That was that step one. Step two, last week, he tried to explain, what is this idea called time? What do you mean time? What is time? And he explained that time is something that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he created this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two worlds, this world and the next world. One, our rabbis tell us, was created with the letter He, this world, and one was created with the letter Yud. Yud, a Yud is a point. It can't be broken up into pieces. The next world exists outside of time. It's so hard for us to understand what that means. Something exists outside of time? But the next world exists as HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists outside of time. Time is connected to matter. Something that Einstein proved with this theory of special relativity. That we know, scientifically, that the faster that matter moves, the slower time flows. That's a mind-boggling concept. What do you mean time flows more slowly? Time is time. I don't know. It just keeps moving, no? The answer is no. That although it seems clear, it seems to any of us that time is just this abstract thing. Either you're marking it or you're not marking it. If a watch falls in the forest, the time is still moving. It doesn't matter whether you could see the watch. But it's just not true. Einstein proved, and the Rambam Lahavdil said this already in the Moreh Nevuchim, that time was created. When God created matter, he created time. Time doesn't exist independently. Time is a function of matter moving. What does it mean then that God created time? So last time he explained beautifully and very deeply that time is a creation that consists of milliseconds. Tiny, tiny bits of time where the world is created and then recreated and recreated and recreated. Why did God create a world like this? Why did God create a world with frames? Today we can understand this as film. Why did God create a film that has unique spot? It consists of different frames. That's what time is. A second following a second following a second. Each one is a photograph, so to speak. It's not actually a fluid thing. Just like when you watch a movie on a film, it appears that the people are moving, and it appears that things are happening, but it's actually not true. In essence, every moment is its own frame. Every moment is its own thing. Why? So that change is possible. That's what makes change possible. If, in fact, yesterday, today, and tomorrow were the same thing, if it was one long wide shot, if it was one panoramic picture, then I'd need to be the same thing tomorrow as I am today. But by having each second in time be a separate moment, it means that it allows for the possibility of change. It allows for the possibility that I could be something a second later that I wasn't a second before. And in fact, one of the greatest Yetzer Haras that we have is to believe that what we were yesterday will still be tomorrow. To believe that because I was this way, someone will say, I can't change that. That's the way I am. Well, you know what? There is no way you are, because you don't exist. You are just a series of frames, a series of things that are being created and recreated. There is no you. You're an illusion. Just as our life going forward is an illusion. Really, it consists, just like a movie is an illusion. Really, it consists of what I did yesterday, what I'm doing today, and what I'm doing tomorrow. There is really ultimately no connection between the person I am today and the person I was yesterday. I choose again to make the wrong decision. I choose again to sin. I can change at any moment. I could stop on a dime. That illusion is real, is strong. It's not real. That illusion is powerful. That illusion is what gives us the sense that it's never the right time. It's just like today flows into tomorrow, but it's not true. And explained the Das Tefillah that this is why time needed to be created in this world so that we could develop, that we could move forward, that the world could develop. He takes that idea in this next section. I don't know how far we're going to get into the section, but it is so mind-blowing and it is so powerful for this time of the year. But we'll do what we can. We'll understand it in the way that we can understand it. Hatalichim, okay, v'yahishtanuyot, it's supposed to be a nun, shekayamim ba'olam hazeh. The paths and the changes that occur in this world. Amar HaSeichel. If you ever see a paragraph that starts with Amar HaSeichel, the intellect says, so you know that you're reading from the Da'as Tvunos of the Ramchal. The Ramchals wrote many, many Sfarim. Many, many are too Kabbalistic for someone like myself to understand. His most famous work was a Musar work. The most famous to us is Mesilas Yesharim, a Musar work. His most famous work of Hashkafa is the Derech Hashem. But there are a number of other works that are somewhat accessible in Hashkafa, and one of them is the Da'as Tevunos. The Da'as Tevunos is presented to the reader as a conversation between the soul and the mind. Between the soul and the mind. The mind is providing the background. The soul feels, the soul doesn't fully understand. The mind is providing, the seichel is providing the answers that the soul has. Amar HaSeichel, Tir'i Yitzirat HaAdam Behadra Goseha. He said, look, notice that a person is created in stages. Such an incredibly profound idea. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya yachol leholid Adam Meshuchlal B'chol Shleimuto Vaday. God could have created us complete, done, finished, intelligent, self-sufficient, im haya rotzeh, if he wanted. Ki ein lo muneya. Why does God create babies so dumb? I mean, not my grandchildren are very smart, but like other children, when they come out, they don't know how to do anything. They suck on their toes, for God's sake. Why do they do things like this? Why are they so not self-sufficient? They can't get anything done. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to do anything. Now, a fascinating answer to that question, just as an aside, because this stuff is too fascinating not to just take asides, is provided by Rav Tukachinsky in the Gesher HaChaim. Gesher HaChaim is a book on Avelus. The third section of Gesher HaChaim is about the path from into this world and then out of this world. Fascinating, fascinating thing, the third section of the Gesher HaChaim. Gesher HaChaim says the following. Do you know why a baby is born so dumb? Because if a baby was intelligent and remembered what it was like in the womb and then came out to this incredible multimedia world, it would be so blown away by what it sees that it would have no bechira chafshis. It would have no free will to deny God. The natural world, if you understood it at once, if you were presented with the beauty and the complexity of the natural world at one moment when you were intelligent, when you did know what that meant, you would be absolutely convinced that somebody must have designed this place. You would never believe it. So what does God do? God has you start to grow up. And as you grow up, you get more intelligent. But not only do you get more intelligent, you get more used to the world. When you see a snail on the steps after it rains, you don't freak out. When you see a flower, you don't lose your mind. when you see an animal, you don't think it's the most exciting thing in the world. That sense of wonderment that a child has is something that goes away as you develop intellectually and religiously. When does a child develop religiously fully? Sometime in Shana Bet. We don't know why this happens, but sometime in Shana Bet, a child develops religiously fully. And by the time he or she is in Shana Bet, he has completely taken the entire world for granted. It works perfectly. It's an amazing thing. At the very same age that you begin to understand that there's a God, that you begin to really think about it, you are beyond the years where anything is not coming to you and anything is wondrous and anything is amazing. And that, says Rav Tukhachinsky, is necessary for Bechira Chavshas. I think that's just, I couldn't leave that one out of the shir. But that's not what he's talking about here. But for another time. But that's just an amazing idea. What does he say? Why, the idea he's going to present is even more mind-blowing. Why is it that babies are so dumb? That babies don't know how to do anything? That babies are so messy that they smell and they do? And why? Why create a baby like that? He says, V'hu lo kein asa. He didn't make us fully formed. Ela kama chaser, it's supposed to say, kama chaser ha'adam b'yom leidato. How incredibly lacking we are when we are born. And it's just so amazing because the birth of a child is an obviously miraculous thing. And the fact that a child has all of their senses and the fact that a child, I mean, on the one hand, the birth of a human being is a tremendous miracle. And yet, that being that has been created, as complex and incredible as it is, can't do anything. Why? V'hu holeich u'mishtalei ma'at ma'at. It's to allow it to go, v'hishtalei, it's supposed to say, and become perfect, to perfect itself slowly. Because we're not supposed to become perfect right away. God gave us a whole lifetime to try to be perfect. The goal is to be perfect by the time we're done. Now, of course, the rabbis tell us that we don't know when we're done, and therefore we should always be on our best behavior because we have no idea what the last day is. And yet, even though things happen and some people pass away in their 20s and their 30s, God has created a reality where most people live to a certain age at a certain time in history. And that creates a certain time frame for a person to get it right. And I don't mean to splash water on your great tshuva ideas of changing your whole life now during a Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And I don't think it's a good idea, as Chazal tell us, to say, I'll study when I eventually will get time to study, because then there'll never be time to study. But at the same time, we have to realize that we're supposed to perfect ourselves over the course of a lifetime. It's a very important thing I speak to certain fellows about in the yeshiva, about chumras in certain areas. And the fact that chumras, it may be that chumras are things that we should develop over time as we grow through certain ages and as we continue to develop. It's okay to try to be someone else at 50 and 60 than I was at 30. Now that process continues all the way through, but it allows us to continue to develop over our lives. Although on some level this week we're thinking of everything on a yearly basis, in essence the idea is to continue to perfect ourselves, to allow us to become perfected by the time that we are older. This may also explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does us certain favors towards the end of our life that don't allow us to sin the way we sinned earlier in our life. the loss of certain desires, whether it's for food, whether it's for physical relations, whether the fact that as a person becomes elderly, they're no longer able to do some of the things they did. And we assume that that's just a terrible state and a terrible thing. And it is difficult. And it's difficult to watch. What if God was giving them some help to perfect themselves before it was their time? I've sat at the bed of a, I remember sitting at the bed of a 59-year-old man with cancer, whose body was racked with cancer. He weighed absolutely nothing. And having a discussion with him about what was clearly going to happen in the next few hours. And we had a very fascinating discussion. We know that when the body, when the soul leaves the body, the Kabbalah tells us that the soul is conscious. The soul is able, even without eyes, to see what's going on, to see the body. If you had a dream, and in your dream you were leaving your body, there's only one place you would want to be, back in your body. Even though, oh, there's all this wonderful world to come, okay, yeah, you know, whatever. In the meantime, get me back into my body. That's where I'm used to being. Could it be that if one's body is racked with disease, that it actually makes it easier to pass into the next world? Could it be that what we're all supposed to say at some point, that my physical body, I thought it was everything, it's nothing. That's not what life was really about. That's not what perfection is about. That's not what spirituality is about. Could it be that if my body starts to go, that it becomes easier for me to recognize that I don't need to be in this body forever? Could it be that the process of becoming a more spiritual and wise and godlike and forgiving and not caring as much about everything, could it be that that's actually a step towards perfection? Not everyone gets that. And most people feel blessed if they don't have a time in their life where they have intellectual difficulties and physical difficulties and all these declines. But if we look at life as a marathon and not as a sprint, if we look at the goal, while we don't know when our last day is going to be, if we look at the goal to be ready on our last day to go to a more spiritual place, then one can look at life in a very different way. Why, says the Das Tvunos, why is it that a baby is created physically and intellectually so needy, so nothing? Because we're not supposed to fix ourselves in a day. We're not supposed to become perfect in a day. We're supposed to go through stages. We have to make sure that we continue with those stages. We need to ask ourselves, am I in a different place than I was? Not yesterday, or not even last year, 10 years ago. Am I climbing that ladder as time goes on? But I need to be in a different place. And just like the body doesn't make itself at one shot, so too the religious, the soul, doesn't develop itself in one place. And then he goes even a step further. V'timtzei shehu mar'eh mamish al kvodo yisparach v'hanhagoso begilui mimshalto. He says that the development of the human body, the fact that it takes us a while, that we're born into nothing and we don't know what we're doing, that's also the entire history of the world, follows the same pattern. Now, we don't know what would have happened if Adam and Chava hadn't eaten from the tree. And it looks like they really had a choice not to eat from the tree, and that God was shocked that they ate from the tree, and that that world was supposed to be the real world of just an Adam and a Chava, and that was supposed to be the whole thing. But the reality is that if you look at the rest of the Chumash, it's hard to imagine the rest of the Chumash not happening. Hard to imagine Matan Torah not happening, Tzias Mitzrayim not happening. What happens soon after Adam and Chava is a descent of the world, of the universe, into an infant-like state. An infant-like state, where all that matters is me, and I don't care what happens. And it takes 20 generations to get an Avram Avinu. 20 generations. And these people lived a really, really long time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's patience is incredible. He was willing to wait 20 generations to move forward and have an Avram Avinu. The fact that Mashiach hasn't come now after 5,781 years, he's okay with that, as long as we continue to move it forward, as long as we push a little closer to the end zone. That's the goal. Rav Kook explained so beautifully that the world is slowly becoming a better place. Now, of course, he said this before the Holocaust. But before the Holocaust, he was saying that the world is inching towards just a better place, a more godly place. Obviously, we could take a step back even if we're generally going forward. But he says the entire world is built on this. The way God created a human being is a lesson for us in the way the world, it doesn't get built in a day. It doesn't get built in a generation. It takes a very, very long time. He talks about five different stages of the world coming to perfection, of the perfection of the spiritual over the material. Shehem hem gedulaso shel haolam sheholech vigadel kegedulaso shel haadam. That just as every single person develops throughout their life, and the goal is not to get it right when I am young, but to eventually get it right as I get older. So too, the world was not supposed to get it right in the beginning. There were 2,000 years before Avram Avinu. 2,000 years with no Torah, no direction, chaos, murder, idol worship. But that's okay. That's okay. That's the teenage years. The world has its teenage years also. Not easy. It's not simple. It's not supposed to be simple before it works out. Hukvodo shomakom shaholechu miskale bahadarga hagdola hazot. This is the kvodo shomakom. God's hand is slowly revealed over time. Yadua, we'll read one more paragraph. Kedela afsher et inyan ha'avoda v'haschar. We know that in order to allow for a world where we could serve Hashem and we could get rewarded for our decisions, es mitzius ha'olam hazeh, the creation of this world, hu olam ha'bechira. God created this world as a world of choosing, as a world of choice. This is the imperfect world. Things are supposed to go wrong in this world. They're not supposed to be perfect in this world. This is a world where we are working. We are supposed to fix ourselves and our community and our family and our community and our country and the world. We're supposed to fix stuff. V'ha'olam haba hu olam hagmul. So the next world is the world of reward. The next world is the world of reward. This world is primarily to allow us to grow and to develop into something. Bara Hashem Yisparach Ma'areches Shel Tov Le'umat Ma'arechet Ra. For that purpose, God had to create good and bad in this world. Without bad, there's nothing to fix. Without bad, there's no growth. Without bad, there's no real decisions. There's no consequences to any of our actions. Evil had to be built into this world to allow it to grow and to achieve perfection. This world can't be perfect. It has to have ra. Kakasuv yotzer or v'arichoshech oseh shalom. The real pasuk says not v'uboreis hakol, but the real pasuk says ubore ra. Ani Hashem osei kol ele. God needed to create an imperfect world so that we could perfect it slowly over time. There's a beautiful piece in Rav Kook where Rav Kook explains that in a certain sense, we have something that even God doesn't have. You see, God is perfect. God can't become perfect. Only through us, so to speak, can God have a world that's coming. He could have created a perfect world. He could have done that, but he didn't. He didn't want that. He already is perfect. He seems to have wanted a world that will get to perfection. As we say, Uvechein Tzadikim, as we say all these things around this time, a world that will slowly make its way and creep out of. He didn't want the world to be perfect. That wasn't what he wanted. He wanted something that would become perfect, not be perfect. Once we're perfect, then there's no reason to be in this world anymore. Perfection is for the next world. This world is about getting a little bit better every day, every year, every decade, that as time goes on, we're moving towards a certain direction, and that's a direction, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That, we'll end with this, can only happen through time. Because time is what tells us that each moment is a frame in a video, each moment is a separate unit, each moment is the way I was then, but doesn't in any way commit to the way I'm going to be now and the way I'm going to be tomorrow. Time allows for that change. This entire world was created only to have a world that figured it out. Boy, has it taken a long time. But God knew it would take a long time. A world that will eventually figure it out, and the Jews will lead that way. That's really what we pray for in Rosh Hashanah. We don't pray for a perfect world. We pray for a world that finally reaches, that finally gets through those stages, that finally through sweat and tears and death and evil and overcoming many roadblocks and things like that, a world that finally gets to that place. So I want to wish everyone a Gemar Chesima Tova. Gemar Chesima Tova. She should have a good end to this year's cycle. But in essence, there's really no Chesima. There is no end. Life is simply a process of being better every year than the year before, and to get closer and closer to what we could possibly be, and to continue to strive for perfection. It should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us continue to strive for that place. Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to continue next Tuesday. This is obviously very, very deep stuff. I'm not getting very fast here. I'm not moving very quickly, but it needs a tremendous amount of thought. But we'll continue with this section of Mirtz Hashem on the day after Yom Kippur, next Tuesday night. Assume that even if I don't send out a reminder, that there is a shiur every Tuesday night. I'll try to remind you on Tuesday day with the tefillah chat things, and I haven't done it in a few days. I've just been under the weather. But assume there's always a shiur on Tuesday night unless I let you know, and I'll do my best to try to remind you anyway. Okay, Gemar Chesima Tova. Good night, everybody.
Gemar Chesima Tova. Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye-bye. Thank you.